All right, we're joined by Rodney Childers from the number four Jimmy John's Ford team, the winning team of the Monster Energy NASCAR All-Star Race. Rodney, just like walk us through today with what happened with practice and getting used to this package and then just storming to the front.
Yeah, I felt like our car was really good on Friday, and I wasn't sure if I really wanted to practice this morning or not. We didn't bring a backup car over here at all. And if we would have tore it up this morning, we probably wouldn't have raced tonight. So, you know, it was one of those deals where we just tried to go out there and practice this morning, play it really, really safe, but also try to figure out, you know, what the car was doing, what our tire wears look like, how much tape we could have on the grill, and all those things. But, you know, I felt like we had a good car going into the race. We were able to lead a lot of that first stage. We had the tire get hung up in the fender on the left front on that first stop and lost some track position, and was hard to fight back from that, and just really wasn't going anywhere much at all, and felt like we had to do something different. So that's when we chose to pit out of sequence and come from the back, and I really think that you know turned things around for us and put us in a better position to win the race.
And you guys are getting this question every week, but just how locked in are you and what's going on to contribute to all this?
Well, I think it comes from just everybody involved. It doesn't matter who it is. You know, it's Kevin, it's the race team, it's everybody at Stewart Haas Racing, it's everybody at the engine shop, everybody at Ford Performance. Everybody is just focused right now. They're working hard. It doesn't matter what kind of racetrack it is, what kind of package it is, we're going to give it 100% and come out and try to win races, and everybody's doing a really good job of that.
And I don't know if you've noticed, but Kevin Harvick's joined us, the winner of the Monster Energy NASCAR All-Star Race. Kevin, when Joey was behind you and giving you that shove, was there any doubt that you weren't going to beat Suarez to that line?
Well, you never know. You know, it was pretty squirrely coming off of turn two there, and I could tell that he wasn't going to let off the gas, and I didn't want him to let off the gas, and, you know, that was the reason that we chose the outside lane. You know, we really thought that if his car wasn't torn up too bad that he would be the best pusher. Usually every week he's the best pusher on restarts and makes a lot of hay on those restarts. So, you know, he pushed us off of turn two, and the key was just you know, being able to clear those guys by the time we got to turn three. And even if we didn't, I didn't really think that we were capable of driving on the bottom with somebody tucked up right against the right side of our car. Our car was super fast, but, you know, really edgy and in the wrong position would push the front tires really bad. But if it was out in the front, you know, it was lights out. So it was definitely a very tense moment, but we were able to get through the restarts and it all worked out.
Any thoughts about the $1 million yet and what you're going to do with it?
Oh, man, I just like the trophy, to tell you the truth. I mean, I'll take the money for sure, but all the kids think it's Lightning McQueen's Piston Cup. So I'm sure that's what mine will think about it when he wakes up and sees it in the morning. So it'll be, you know, I think the coolest part about it is for me, it's really, I love the trophy and the money. That's great. But seeing the effort that's paid off for the guys on my team and, you know, seeing a guy who's won a zillion races in his career with, you know, a bunch of different race teams like Doug Yates walk into victory lane, that guy just absolutely loves to race. And when you put a restrictor plate on these engines, he's just a guy that he just wants to just pour every ounce of it that he's got into it. And so from the engine shop, at, you know, when Doug and all of his guys and then you look at our fab shop and the CFD guys and all the aero guys and everything that they put into it. And then you know, like Rodney said, and then you give it to the four team and then they detail it out and bring it to the racetrack and make a lot of good decisions throughout the day. So, hey, you know, everything's going our way. We've got really fast cars. Everybody's executing. And, you know, the pit crew didn't have a great first stop with the tire getting hung in the fender, but they rebounded with a great pit stop on the next stop and gained, you know, a spot or two there. And that's what you want out of an experienced team, whether it's the pit crew, whether it's the crew chief, whether it's the driver. When something goes wrong, you got to be able to overcome it, refocus, and move forward. So I'm proud of them all. That to me is more important than and the money and everything that comes with it, because everybody puts so much time with it. There's nothing better than seeing them all high-five each other in victory lane.
And then I know it's looking ahead a little bit to next week, but if you win next week, the last driver to win three races in a row twice in a season was Dale Earnhardt in 1987. With your connection with Dale, what would that mean to you?
You know, I think everything so far has just been, you kind of just have to laugh and enjoy it. And it's like I said, in Kansas, it's kind of a game at this particular point, because you want to keep him focused on what he's doing. And, you know, I think, obviously Zippy's in from his side of things has been in this position a lot, but there's a lot of things that people talk about, stuff like that. And it's really about trying to come to the racetrack with the same mentality that you did. It's racing like you're losing. And, if you can trick yourself into doing that every week and not get too high during the highs and really feel like you need to keep pushing to make things better. And that's really the mindset that everybody has right now. And they've all bought into it. And really the whole company has bought into it. And it's almost just like, ignore everything that's going on. You know the cars are fast, but keep working hard to make sure that you have stuff coming down the pipe to keep improving the cars, because this whole garage is smart and they'll keep improving. So, and that's the great thing about it. From the day that we first came to Ford, it's been a constant progression, and I see that progression as getting better, not worse.
We're going to open up for questions. Start with Brendan, then Bob.
Hey, Kevin. Brendan Marks from the Charlotte Observer. Congratulations, thanks. First of all. Coming in that this race isn't worth any points, but how does the excitement of winning tonight compare to winning any of the five races you've already won so far this year? Is it similar, or is it different at all, or what is it like? How does it compare?
You know, I think this was my 18th All-Star race. I believe I heard that tonight. I was 18-1. We've been really close to winning this race a couple times that we've been at SHR. And, I think as you look at it, these guys, including myself, all put a lot of effort into coming into this race every time we've been here. There's something about winning at Charlotte. There's something about winning the All-Star race and being able to win on those nights where you just throw caution to the wind, because everybody in the whole field is doing the exact same thing and they all want what you did. So we're 2 for 18 now, and I think that's pretty neat, and I know how much effort and time that they put into it, and for me that's one of the things that motivates me. I feel like if I don't show up and give 100% and I'm not 100% focused, I've let them down, because there's not one person in that organization that isn't given everything that they've got every day to make sure that car is the best that it can be when it rolls out of the trailer. And if I'm not prepared and listening and in there, talking to these guys and at the meetings and doing all the things that it takes to be a part of the process, then, I'm letting them down. So that motivates me to make sure I don't let them down.
Bob Hocker, ESPN. In the second and third stages when you were in traffic, you were making moves, but I'm curious, did you feel like your moves were daring at all, or were you trying to play conservative, and how did this race feel compared to like a Daytona or Talladega plate race?
It was different. I think as you look at it, the only thing I can really compare it to is once it got all strung out was Daytona of old, before they repaved it, when you could dive to the bottom and the middle and top was still going to be faster and coming up on the outside of you. I probably made a lot of moves that I shouldn't have made, but you're trying to make something happen. I didn't feel like I was riding in line, and the higher that I would move up the racetrack, the tighter my car would get. So if I could dive down to the bottom and make good time on the bottom, but when they would all line up on the top, I wound up losing ground. So really our strong point were the restarts. We were able to push and shove, and I was able to be aggressive with the car. Because the first 6 or 8 laps it would grip, and I could go anywhere I wanted to. But as we ran, it kept getting a little bit worse in traffic, but you needed to do everything that you could do to get to the front, and that was really the goal at the end of that third stage, was to get as far forward as possible, because we knew we weren't going to pit again. We didn't have any more tires, and we'd kind of made our bed. But in the end, that wound up being the call that put us in the right position to win the third stage and be able to control the race from there.
Kenny, Jerry, then Don.
Akeem Balaam, Concord Tribune. You've had seasons in the past where, you know, you've kind of had, you know, where you've been, you know, I guess looking up at other drivers because they were on hot streaks. Right now you're on a huge hot streak, 5 wins now, 6 wins. If you could take us through the perspective of, you know, once, you know, trying to get up to, you know, that level of where those drivers were, and now being on this hot streak, especially going into next week at the 600, where the field is pretty much thinking, you know, we gotta beat the number four. He's the man to beat right now.
Yeah, you know, I don't feel like that's really a different position than we've been for, you know, in 4 out of the 5 last years. Last year was, you know, obviously a building year for us. And I think that's the one thing that is the great part about this team is we've been in a position to obviously win the championship in 2014, 15, you know, had a great year and won a bunch of races. So we've been in position to have been successful before, and I think that the experience of the team and the organization and all the racers that come in into that shop day after day kind of sets the tone of the expectations, but also, you know, having been in a lot of these situations before with each other, you know, I think in our fifth year, I think that experience is paying off and really being able to capitalize on the speed of the cars, especially when you look at the experience of the team. The speed of the cars and the experience of the team, I think, is what is making everything add up to the results that we're having.
Jerry Jordan, Kicking the Tires.net and Performance Racing Network. Your partner next to you there on Friday said he really kind of liked this package. I guess you've got a million reasons why you would like it right now. But what was it like on the track racing it? Do you think it has potential? And also, what about the fans? Were you aware from the car that, you know, they were standing up and there was all these cheers and you got out of the car? It seemed a lot of excitement after the race as well.
Well, the fans have been great, and you know, I think as you just look at the momentum and just the, you know, everything that's happened this year, the fans have really been very supportive, and I think as you look at just the things that are happening, I think that, you know, that they're, I don't know, it kind of seems like they're on our side, and rooting for us to be successful, and you can feel that enthusiasm, and I like that. You know, I think I'd rather boo me to death if they don't like me and cheer for me and do the same for every other driver. And I think that enthusiasm from the fans really sparks us as well, because you know you can feel it and you can see it, and coming to the green flag, it's not that you don't notice all those flash bulbs that are going off on phones and cameras and all those things. As far as the package goes, you know, I'd really like to make sure that we don't just jump and say, you know, this is the save all, do all package. I'd like to see it, you know, slowly transformed into points paying races, because I think the preparation level will be a little bit different from every team in the garage, and I just want to make sure that we cycle it in correctly and make sure it fits in well for the teams to be able to afford the things that need to be done to, you know, get the cars right. So there's a lot of things to balance. You know, tonight's race was very aggressive, and this is the perfect spot to try stuff like this. And, you know, I think as you look at, you know, the effort that the teams put in to make all this happen was pretty high. And the chance that NASCAR and Marcus and everybody took to put it this into the All-Star race is brave, bold, but, you know, I think that when you look at NASCAR racing in 5 years, I think you'll look back at tonight and say, it looks like this, and it all started here.
Kevin, Don Jeffries from CSPN Media. You were one of the only cars who could actually get up to the leader and make a pass on him, so just kind of walk me through that last lap in stage three where you got around Larson to, you know, put you out front for stage four.
I'll be honest with you. It was kind of like I heard one of our golfers say this. Chess and Hadley said this. He's like, it was kind of one of those blackout moments. Everything just happened, and the next thing I knew, I was on the outside or inside. I don't even know. I don't even remember how I got by. There was two or three passes that happened there, and I had a big head of steam and was able to, I think it was the 19 car, yeah, and was able to get up beside the 19 car and drive by. So it was there was just a lot of moving and shaking and bumping and a lot of momentum that we had, and we needed to go somewhere. But I really felt like that we had to be really aggressive to get as far forward as we could. Honestly, I didn't think there was any way we were going to win that stage. But getting all the way up in front at the end of that stage really put us in control of the race. And I felt like once we were able to get back in control of the race, and if we were able to keep the clean air, that was really the best chance we had to win. Traffic was, we weren't going to make another pass. That was the moment that won us the race.
Any questions for Rodney or Greg? If not, we'll let them go. Caleb? Bob? And then Jacob.
Caleb Whistler, KickingTheTires.net. Rodney, this is for you. Kind of what were some of the strengths and weaknesses you saw for your team with this package, and how much did the lack of practice affect your efforts in this package?
Well, I think it ended up being enough practice, to be honest. I think everybody at the racetrack and NASCAR did an awesome job of getting us out there. I think all of us, sitting in the trailers probably thought we weren't going to qualify yesterday and thought we weren't going to practice anymore either. So, we were pretty nervous from a lot of different things, just not knowing what was going to happen if we didn't practice anymore. But, we just felt like our car was fast. We weren't sure if it was going to handle the best in the world. It was a little bit too tight in practice. Then we got it too loose and then got it too tight again. So, but no matter the balance, it had a lot of speed. So that was a big positive.
Bob Hockers, ESPN. For Greg, if NASCAR wants to try to use some sort of this package or a form of it, how many tests would you want to see before they make that decision? And kind of how many aero packages can a team, can organization deal with for a season? Like if they – if they have this for like six or seven races and the other package for, the other non-plate races and then a plate package, is that doable from a race team standpoint?
I mean, I think it's doable. It's just a matter, like back to what Kevin said, is implementing it the right way, learning it. It's going to be different than our other packages. It's a motor package. It's a, potentially a body change from what we race on downforce racetrack. So, we're just creating more work for ourselves, which just takes more resources. If it puts good racing on and the races are spread out, we'll all figure it out as teams. Dumping it on us right now wouldn't be the right thing to do. It would be nice to go to another racetrack. Everybody's talked about the Pocono or the, Michigan is probably a really cool place to something like that to have tried it. And I think we'll see different results at different racetracks with it.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that's going to happen this year is you're going to see that this particular package also show up on the Xfinity cars at Michigan. So I think that's another step in the process. And, I think by the time – and that's my point by taking our time with this is I think by the time it evolves, especially for the engine shop, that this particular package would need to look very similar to what your Daytona and Talladega package look like, and it would be really nice for everything to evolve into a package like this, wherever we're going to run it on the 2 miles or 1.5 miles, and Daytona and Talladega look the same. So how you can evolve to that is way beyond me, but I think from an engine shop standpoint, there would need to be something like that would happen. So and that's the reason that you can't just say pull the trigger, let's do it. And, it's a big ship to turn. So it would be interesting.
Anything from the press box?
Well, Well, just remember this. There was a large buzz about the low downforce package that we currently race when we left the All-Star race 1 year. So just remember that.
All right, we'll go Jacob and Mike.
Jacob Seelman, Speed Sport. I've got one for Greg, and then I'll follow up with Kevin. Greg, you've been at this game a while, going back to your time at JGR. Have you ever in your career been with a team and in a situation quite like the run that not just Kevin, but the entire SHR group is on right now?
Nah, that's pretty awesome. I don't know if many organizations at any point in time in their career have, had this kind of success. So, as a group, it's been really cool to see Rodney and Kevin accomplish what they have is just been unbelievable.
Kevin, for you, tonight, I'm a little surprised to see you walk in here, honestly, and I don't want to say subdued is the right word, but is it getting to be old hat at this point? Six for 13.
Right, I got a 4-month-old baby at home. I showed up this morning. I held my little girl at 7:30, 8 o'clock. I drove to the racetrack. I practiced. I went back, watched my son's baseball game, and I drove back for the driver's meeting. I had 4 appearances. Sat and laid on the couch for an hour and watched the race, and then I came back out and did driver intros and ran the race. So if your ass wouldn't be tired by now, I don't know. I don't know who you are, but I'm beat. So I felt like I gave it a full effort today. So if I'm subdued, I'm sorry. I'm really happy that we won the race, and I'm really excited for my team and organization and sponsors and everybody, but I'm tired. Got to remember, I'm old. You know, when I leave here, I'm going to go home, and I drink too many more of these Busch beers, I might be asleep in the car. So,
Johnny Sauter was in here last night after the truck race win and made a comment about right people, right situation, and that he felt that he was on an upswing at a period where a lot of drivers in their career might be on a downward swing. I feel like I'm seeing this a lot of the same with you. Do you feel like right now that you're just getting better and better, and is that in large part due to the fit you found with Stuart Haas?
Absolutely, and I'm going to try to be more energetic now that I feel like I'm subdued. I think as you look at situations, he's 100% right. And you know, I think as you look at getting involved with Tony and Gene, I've obviously known Tony for a long time. It took me a while to get to know that guy down there. I think he used to want to tear my head off. I wrecked a couple of his race cars a few times and kept his driver out drinking beer too late and all kinds of stuff. So, I think as we've been embedded in SHR as a group and sat through good times and bad times and meetings and, the thing about it for me is I get to be involved. And, I used to be an argument to speak your opinion and talk about things that were going wrong. Now you talk about things that were going wrong and there's an action list. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a meeting and we're going to move forward. And you just, for me, I like to be involved. And, they let me be involved. And our team, our 4 team in general is a little bit different than probably most teams because Stuart Haas Racing allowed us to build it from, we didn't have anything. So we hired a crew chief. We courted Rodney for, I don't know, seems like a year and a half, whatever it was. Yeah. Yeah. So it was a long time. And we got that piece done first. And then it was, okay, now you need to go hire everybody on your team. And he was on gardening duty. So he got to, go and interview every person that was on the race team to start with. We got a brand new tractor and trailer and every nut and bolt in it. And every car was built to the specs that blended together with what he wanted and what Stuart Haas had and the Hendrick relationship at the time. So everything on our team was built around what we wanted. And, you know, that's not normal. You know, I think as you look at a lot of situations, you're going to have guys that are going to go into a team and you're going to say, well, you're going to get a few of these cars, you're going to get a few of these cars, and we're going to give you a couple guys from over here. But and that's not the case. And when you look at it, we've got young owners. We've got a group of racers that from top to bottom, inside and out, that love to race cars, and that's all they want to do. They don't care what color your shirt is, how many buttons are on it. You know, just show up and do everything you can to win the race. And that isn't normal in this garage. And, you know, I think as you look at that environment that has been created, it's just about racing. And everybody's input, everybody's involved, and it's just it's a special place to work. So for me, it's the same scenario. It's the right people, right situation. And we all have a lot in common. We all have kids. We all are very similar in age. There's not a generation gap from, you know, our ownership group or the management or crew chief. You know, if I told Rodney, hey, man, I'm not going to be – or Greg, I said, hey, man, I'm not going to be at the meeting today. I'm going to go watch Keelan's baseball game. They'd say, have fun. And it would be like, you know what, if I'm going to watch my kid play football or baseball or basketball and you have the opportunity to do that, that's rare. And, you know, that's not something that we all get to do. And so that's the type of situation that for me, I just feel like it works. And we all respect each other, but we all have a lot in common.
We're going to wrap it up with Mike and Daniel.
Mike Ember, USA Today. Rodney, obviously the speeds were down quite a bit with this package, and there were some other differences. How did all that impact how you thought about things like tire strategy and pit stops and stuff? Did it change that a lot or not?
Yeah, I mean, when you look back at it, there's been a lot of work behind the scenes. You know, I think Rex blew his computer up about 10 times working on all this stuff, trying to figure out this package. And you know, is it going to be more about drag? Is it going to be more about downforce? And honestly, it ended up being different than what we thought. You know, I told somebody in Victory Lane, I'm glad it wasn't 600 miles because we'd have needed a different car. But, you know, it was all about trying to figure out what was the right thing, and we brought what we thought was right. But, you know, I think the whole garage thought we were going to come over here and just run wide open for 80 laps, and it didn't end up being that way. There was a lot of handling involved, and, you know, once we saw how much everybody was out of the gas in practice, we had to rethink what we were doing. And he said at the same time I said it, we went out there and practiced, I don't know, 15 laps, and we put tires on it again and just drove through everybody. And then the 42 put tires on and drove through everybody, and we're like, crap. You know, our original thought was we were going to pit after the first stage and we were going to stay out the rest of the time. That wasn't going to happen. You're going to have tires. So it was a lot different than what we thought it was going to be.
Daniel, to wrap it up.
Daniel McFadden with NBC Sports. Kevin, early this week, this year's NASCAR Next class was announced, and two drivers that you've kind of taken personal interest in, Will Rogers and Hallie Deegan, were named to it. What does it mean for you, for two drivers that you take just even a small mentorship role in, to have them get that recognition?
Well, you know, I feel like our efforts, you know, from a short track side of things, are paying off. You know, I don't think anybody would have known Will Rogers' name if we hadn't have run the K&N West Series race last year. You know, and you know, I'm proud to be able to take him and bring him on the radio show and talk about him. And that's really the reason that we run those races. And you know, I think when we went to Bakersfield this year, running around, you know, Haley is she has a lot of potential. You know, and I talked to Brian, you know, periodically here and there, and they came to the house, and you know, she was on the radio show as well. And, you know, I think both of those kids have a ton of potential. I hope that, and I think Brian is really, you know, good for Haley because of the fact that she just needs to go race and learn the ins and outs and get with the right, you know, situations as she moves up and not move too fast, because she's the best female. She has the most potential of a female racer because she gets it. She's very into what she's doing. It's not about, you know, everything else. It's really about the race car and how do I drive it faster. And she's just got her stuff together. And Will's the same way. He's got his stuff together, and he just needs an opportunity, you know, to come out and show what he's got. So when the road course stuff shows up, and you know, Will is probably, you know, he's capable of being in an Xfinity race or a cup race in the right equipment on a road course, and he'd be, you know, a top 10 competitor in the right stuff, in the right situation on any road course in any series. So it's interesting to see, but you know, that's really been our goal running the K&N races, is to expose those drivers to, you know, get opportunities, and just glad that it's working out for a couple of them.
All right, guys. Thank you for coming in.